877-500-5266. We got a minute left, Teresa.
60 seconds left. You can do it. You can call in 877-500-5266. You could get yourself one of these wonderful hoodies that we have available and which have been flying off of our shelves, if we have shelves. Our stacks,
we do,
anyway.
We do.
Oh,
we have
good.
Some.
A few
That's
shelves.
A $20 a month contribution. Again, budget that in to your monthly entertainment information budget, your solidarity budget. $20 a month adds up to $240 a year, but it's in little bite-sized pieces. I got to say, I started doing that last year when we got the KBOO hoodie because I wanted one so badly, and now I give more than an hour's wage every month because I wanted to be warm and fashionable at the same time. 877-500-5266.
And your blue eyes look great peeking out from that hoodie like a little Ewok. 877-500-5266 is the number to call. I knew that would make her laugh.
Fantastic. You have undone me. Thank you, Teresa.
But you can get a hoodie, too. And why don't you? 877-500-5266. We're almost out of time, so I'm going to talk faster and faster. Debbie from Northeast Portland is a renewing member. Linda from Southwest Portland is a renewing member. Somebody else is calling in. That's excellent. We have a phone line available for your call. You know that it has to be you and it has to be now. 877-500-5266. And I'm out of here.
What would you have instead?
No, this is it.
Comes a time when every second, every day, when every action, every thought will tell the world how you cast your vote.
KBOO would like to thank the restaurants that have donated food for our volunteers today. Isabel Restaurant for providing breakfast located at 330 Northwest 10th Avenue, serving Latin flavors with Asian accents in Portland's Pearl District, using ingredients grown at their own Stargaze Farm in Sandy, Oregon. Bridges Cafe and Catering for providing lunch located at 2716 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard, committed to using local and organic ingredients, breakfast served every day, all day, and lunch on weekends. Dinner is from Marrakesh, located at 1201 Northwest 21st Avenue, open daily 5 to 10 p.m., with belly dancing Wednesday through Sunday, serving Moroccan cuisine since 1989.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of The Book of Mormon, a play running from Friday, November 27th through Saturday, December 19th, presented by Triangle Productions in Portland. The Book of Mormon is a new musical comedy where Mormon missionaries meet Ethel Merman. Again, that's The Book of Mormon, playing from December 19th at Triangle Productions, 1785 Northeast Sandy Boulevard in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Everything's coming up roses.
This is KBOO Portland. The time is 9:03 a.m. Coming up on Political Perspectives, host Michelle Schroeder Fletcher speaks with journalist Stephen Hill about his new book, Raw Deal. At 10, Chris Andre hosts Air Cascadia. At 10:15, we have Flashpoints. And at 11 on Intersections Radio, host Sarika Mehta speaks with Deepa Iyer about her new book, We Too Sing America. And at 11:30, host Kathleen Stevenson speaks with longtime KBOO host Per Fagerang about his new dystopian novel, Jack Maloney's Century. That's all coming up on your community radio.
Good morning on these opening days of Pledge Drive at KBOO Radio 90.7 Portland. I want to say on a personal note how proud and privileged I am to be a member and a volunteer. And I want to take one quick moment to read some of what is in KBOO's mission statement. KBOO is an independent, member-supported, non-commercial, volunteer-powered community radio station. It embodies equitable social change, shares knowledge and news and opinions. So today, perfect on that, it is our endeavor to bring you the voice of a new questioning opinions, and we'll be speaking with author Stephen Hill regarding his new book, Raw Deal, How the Uber Economy and Runaway Capitalism Are Screwing American Workers. He's a senior fellow with the New American Foundation and the author of several books and articles around these very important economic issues. Good morning, Stephen.
Good morning.
I want to let everybody know that you will be in town Tuesday, December 8th at 7 p.m. at the First Unitarian Church. The admission is $5 to $20 on a sliding scale, but no one will be turned away. Sponsored by the Alliance for Democracy, Economic Justice Action Group of the First Unitarian Church. You've also donated several copies of the book as a premium, which we'll talk about throughout the hour. So, again, this is what KBOO does so well. This is what your book did so well. Brought up some very important, timely, as you can imagine, we just had a city council vote yesterday and all kinds of conversation around Uber. I'm hoping that in the first part of the program, we can talk about the problem as you see it, and then you do in the book lay it out so well. And then at the latter half, maybe we can open it up for some phone questions or further discussion.
Sounds great. I also have in my book, there's two chapters on solutions. And
oh, yes.
So it would be great if we could spend a little time on that, because I think people like to have some idea of what do we do.
Absolutely, Stephen. As a matter of fact, I forgot to say that is what I want to spend the bulk of the time at the end is, first of all, like you do in the book, I want you to lay out the whole problem as you see it and what's been happening, which many of us will be aware of. But yes, the important and valuable part near the end, we will devote the last half being interrupted by Pledge Drive. Thanks again for being with us and, again, exposing this important question. So let's start where you do, the quote-unquote sharing economy. Let's start in San Francisco with some background about you and how the problems that you saw develop.
Well, you know, I live in San Francisco, and I've lived here for a number of years, so you could see the onset of these companies and their technologies. It started out kind of slowly, and at a certain point, it just really accelerated. And so I think for a lot of people are kind of in shock over it, because what seemed to start out as maybe a pretty good idea, once you scaled it up to the numbers that it's become, not only in San Francisco, but in Los Angeles, New York City, you know, Portland, also Seattle. I'm going up to Seattle also next week, and, you know, a lot of issues there. Once it reaches a certain critical mass, it sort of metastasizes into something, you know, destructive. And that's what we've been seeing in San Francisco, whether it's Uber and Lyft and ride sharing, where the number of cars on the road now has just contributed so greatly to the huge amounts of congestion. Driving through downtown San Francisco now has become an exercise in just utter frustration and people getting angry at each other. It takes so much longer to get from point A to point B. It's like trying to get through the mountain pass, and all the passes are blocked. You just can't get through. And then with Airbnb, a similar situation where what started out seemed like a pretty good idea to let people you know, rent out a spare room in their home, make some extra money during an economy that's not doing so well. But then now you flash forward several years later, and the Airbnb platform has been completely invaded by professional real estate operatives who increasingly are the biggest part of Airbnb's revenue model. They are the ones that now have, you know, about half of the visits to hosts are to the professionals. Half of the revenue is coming from the professionals, and so it's such a huge part of Airbnb's revenue stream that you know, they could stop this in a second just with a flick of their computer mouse, but they of course don't, because this is a company heading for its big IPO. They want to blow this open bigger than Facebook, and so the sharing economy, as it's called, has very much become the share the crumbs economy, as so many people are being evicted from their homes in order to make way to create Airbnb tourist hotels. So, you know, this is the type of thing that's happening with these companies.
Well, and to be fair, you do go in the book. I mean, first of all, these issues are so pertinent, so relevant. Like I said yesterday, the city council in Portland was having hearings on Uber and trying to find a middle ground of regulation and support that would allow what you talk about in the book as the way forward. To be fair, you say, like Airbnb, Uber, and other ride-sharing companies have undeniably created something with the potential to do good. It has already helped crack open the taxi monopolies, and if regulated properly, it could provide a little daylight employment opportunity for people who need a flexible way to make some money. So you're talking about how technology is disrupting the way we work. The cornerstone of the book is that it's eroding the social safety net as well. Can you, I know it's a big, big part, but talk to us about the 1099 era and the kind of the post-New Deal era that you are explain.
Sure. And just before I say that, let me just say, I think we could make these companies, these technologies, Airbnb and Uber, I think we could make them work, but you have to put the right regulation around them in order to make them work. And we can talk more about that later
yes.
in the program.
Yes.
Because, you know, I think it's important to just point out the problems that they're creating and how, if we put the right rules around these companies in there and how they're using the technologies, it could be a good thing.
Yes.
In my book, I go a lot into the gig economy, sharing economy, on-demand economy, but I also go a lot into the traditional economy and how it's being impacted by technology and the impact on jobs and the labor force. So, for example, you meet a person in my book by the name of Chris Young, who's an auto worker in Tennessee. He works in a Nissan plant. And Chris, he doesn't wear the Nissan shirt that the employees of Nissan work wear, because he doesn't work for Nissan. He works for a contractor. So he's doing the exact same job as all of the other workers who are wearing the Nissan shirt. But because he works for this contractor, he gets half the pay. He has no safety net, and he really has no job security. He's a temp worker, but he's been working at this job now for about 4 years, so they actually have given a new name to workers like Chris. He's what is now called a perma-temp. I mean, think about that, how we use language to twist reality. So these perma-temps, in the aftermath of the Great Recession, during this very tepid recovery, a fifth of the new jobs created are these sorts of perma-temp jobs, where they have no safety net, very low pay. They don't have the working conditions, and they're not treated like their fellow workers who are working directly for the company itself. And many, many companies are starting to use these sorts of workers, temp workers, contractors, freelancers, because if you're an employer and you hire that type of worker, you are saving 30% on your labor costs, because you don't have to pay for things like health care, Social Security, Medicare, even injured worker compensation. You don't have to pay for that. So a lot of these workers, you know, there's been a number of situations where workers have gotten injured on the job, and they don't have injured worker compensation. They have to pay for their own medical bills, and if they're too injured to keep working, they've got to pay for themselves while they recover from their injuries. You know, unemployment compensation, you don't pay for that either if you're hiring these sorts of 1099 workers, as they're called. Because that's the form that's filed for this type of worker with the IRS instead of a W-2 tax form, which is what you file for regularly employed workers. So yeah. this 1099 economy, as it's called, is expanding, and more workers are in this job category, not regularly employed. And I'll give you just one example from my book. The pharmaceutical company Merck, which is one of the biggest pharmaceutical companies in the world, it had a plant in Philadelphia. It had 400 workers there. Merck sold the plant to another company. The company laid off all 400 workers and then hired back all 400 workers as contractors instead of regularly keeping them as regularly employed workers, and then proceeded to make the exact same drugs for Merck that Merck was making for itself before that. So this is the real race to the bottom that has been unleashed in the American economy at this point, where more and more employers are resorting to these sorts of tactics in order to reduce their costs and to compete in this market. And just keep in mind, it's a race to the bottom, because if I'm an employer and you're an employer and I'm doing this, I'm hiring these 1099 workers and you're not, then it puts pressure on you to do that as well in order to compete. It just is a self-fulfilling dynamic.
And again, that's what the book does so well. I want to also say that you state, and I think it's really important to point out, that you say in the book, the understanding of who we are as people is inseparable from government policies, even if we don't always acknowledge it, and even as many Americans today are dependent and take advantage of government programs, they like to bash the government. 44% of Social Security beneficiaries say they haven't ever used a government program. So do 60% of the recipients of the federal home mortgage interest deduction. 43% of unemployment insurance recipients, and 40% of Medicare recipients. You know, that was stunning to me, because of course it's not only the self-fulfilling prophecy of what the businesses are doing, it's how the people are responding and the mindset that hasn't changed or caught up with kind of the new reality.
Yes, this is true. You know, Americans, you know, someone once called us the ultimate free lunch society. Everybody is against everyone else's free lunch, but when it comes to their own, they not only want, you know, what the taxes pay for, whether it's their home mortgage interest deduction or their you know, the subsidy they get from the federal government for their 401k savings, or, you know, the subsidies for huge ballparks that, you know, some people go to those ballparks and benefit from that subsidy. A lot of people don't. And so everyone likes their own, but they don't like to think that somehow they're the ones who are on the government dole. But in fact, you know, just looking at, you know, how much federal money is spent on housing, for example, the reality is that far more money is spent on federal money subsidizing wealthier Americans with all the different deductions they have on their property than is spent on low-income housing for poor people. I mean, really, if you want to talk about welfare queens, wealthier Americans are far bigger welfare queens than poorer Americans are.
And I think that is really the important part of the book, is to at least remind people, and this is a change, this is occurring. The millennials that we'll talk about have a different view of it than people my age who remember labor and the way things were set up in the economies of the past. And through this, we need to be clear and accurate about what's actually happening and what the narrative truly is. And that's what your book does. I mean, it's fascinating. I want to remind our listeners that I'm speaking with Stephen Hill, author of Raw Deal, How the Uber Economy and Runaway Capitalism Are Screwing the American Worker. He is going to be in town Tuesday, December 8th at 7 o'clock at the First Unitarian Church. He's also generously donated for our pledge drive several of his books. Fabulous read, really important topics about this transitional time. I would say almost everybody affected by the issues that he's talking about in the book. You can double the impact of your donation without any extra money out of your pocket through this time of matching period. And I know that Justin is out ready to pitch and to let you know how you can get his book.
Didn't see you coming there. Thank you, Michelle. My name is Justin. I'm joined by Jenka this morning on day four of what I'm calling the Festival of Celebrating How Individuals Can Make a Profound Impact in the Community. And you can do that by calling 877-500-5266. That's 877-500-KBOO. And we are right now in a double matching period, which means that all new contributors will have their money effectively tripled. And everyone who is renewing a membership with an increasing donation will also have that matched, up to $250, thanks to the Starseed Foundation. And we're asking a few of you to call up 877-500-5266 and get a copy of this book, Raw Deal, for a modest $60 gift. That's $5 a month. And if you're a new member, that will end up being $180 for KBOO. Say no to the 1099ing of humanity and say yes to community. 877-500-KBOO.
You know, we urge you to call right now because we're trying to raise $55,000 this drive, and we're about a third of the way there, and we actually only have until Monday. We are doing a shortened drive this time. We have heard from you, and we want to ensure that we get our finances met here at KBOO while keeping the commercial-free, advertising-free programming on the air that you love and appreciate. Most stations that you turn to across the dial are filled with corporate advertising, and even if you go online, if you try and access news and information, you'll come up with ads popping up all over the place. Well, KBOO is not like that. You can go on our website. You can listen to any of the audio that you've heard on the air for free, and we provide that as a service. We podcast all our shows, and we are working on a new and improved website and app. We do that with your support, and you can be a part of this community. You become a radio owner when you do that. Do it right now and pick up a copy of Raw Deal, How the Uber Economy and Runaway Capitalism Are Screwing American Workers. 877-500-5266. Again, if you need to remember that number a few minutes, 877-500-5266. KBOO.
We have a modest goal for Michelle's great interview with Stephen Hill right now. That's $750 between now and 10 o'clock. Let's put it this way. How about 10 of you could start a new membership at the modest $6.25 level? That $6.25 a month will add up to $75 a year. It'll get you a copy of the book. And if you're starting that new membership, that's going to end up being $225 for KBOO. Now, you would never leave money on the table in your home or in your business. So please, without any extra effort on your part, you can make sure that KBOO doesn't leave any money on the table. Please never think that an individual can't make a difference. KBOO was built on the proposition that individuals make profound differences, and we are working on collecting individuals into great groups. Some of them are in here making radio, making music, bringing you news and information, and many of you are out there in radio land, and you're all linked together thanks to the mighty 90.7. Won't you please call right now and make a contribution? 877-500-5266.
You know, this is a 2-for-1 matching period. That means that any new and increased donors are matched 2-to-1. If you give $100, it turns into $300. Now, that's just till 10 o'clock. So if you call right now, you will be matched 2-for-1. We have the generous contribution or a match challenge from the Starseed Foundation. That is $250 in donations. If KBOO listeners can come up with $250 in donations, we don't want to call the Starseed Foundation and say, oh, we can't accept your $250 because the KBOO listeners didn't call up in time. No, we want you to call up. If you could give a $10 a month contribution, that is $120. That gets us that much closer to that goal. So please call us up. If you could do $5 a month, pick up a copy of Raw Deal, How the Uber Economy and Runaway Capitalism Are Screwing American Workers. You can get that $5 or any more than that as well. The upper limit is, I think, pretty close to limitless. 877-500-KBOO.
You know, if you tune into any other media source, you're going to hear how, you're going to hear about something that is erroneously called the sharing economy. I don't know what that means exactly in the context in which it's used, but I darn well know it doesn't have anything to do with Uber. The only place you're going to find out what's really going on around the 1099ing of America, around complete stripping of any kind of civil security, job security, any kind of group involvement of the people, the only place you're going to find that is KBOO. And that's been a long time now, and you know it. You've turned around on other places on the dial. You know it's not true. So please, the amount that you give is not anywhere near as important as the fact that you call up and get counted right now. 877-500-5266.
You know, listening to Stephen Hill and Michelle talking and about the number of people who are ignorant about the public services that they themselves are actually receiving, and I'm thinking to myself, why so many people really don't know what the economy is about, what is happening with the government, what they themselves are participating in, and they don't have access. The majority of Americans don't have access to community media, to real accurate information about what's going on. Instead, it's talking heads spouting really inaccurate mythologies and things that are completely untrue and not based in fact. So here at KBOO, you get a different perspective, and I know that you appreciate that. You're listening. Now I urge you to support. New and increasing donations will be tripled right now. 877-500-5266.
Hi, this is Michelle. I'm rejoining you after thank you from Pledge Central and from our author, Stephen Hill, who has been so gracious to donate his time, energy, effort, and books. His new book, Raw Deal, How the Uber Economy and Runaway Capitalism Are Screwing the American Workers. And before we get to the solutions, I would be remiss if I did not have you talk about Maria Fernandez, the Dunkin' Donut worker, whom you so personally and poignantly talk about in the book.
Yes, Maria Fernandez is another one of the people you meet in my book, and Maria was a Dunkin' Donuts worker. And she didn't work for just one Dunkin' Donuts franchise. She worked for three of them because no one franchise would give her enough hours at that one franchise to make her life work financially. Because for a lot of these sorts of employers, you know, they allow you to have health and safety net benefits if you get above, say, 25 or 30 hours per week. But then they just make sure that a whole bunch of their employees never get above that threshold in order to qualify. So many people are making it work by working for multiple employers, or in Maria's case, by working for three different Dunkin' Donuts franchises. She drove up and down the New Jersey Turnpike from franchise to franchise, sometimes working an overnight shift, sometimes a day shift, sometimes a night shift. And, you know, it was really a hectic life for her. So one morning, she pulled into a Wawa convenience store parking lot at 5:30 in the morning to get a little shut-eye before she continued on to the other franchise where she had to go for her next shift. She had taken to a habit of keeping a can of gasoline in her car in order to make sure she never ran out of gas running from one franchise to the other. And no one knows quite how it happened, but somehow the can of gas got overturned in her car, and she died of asphyxiation in the front seat of her car as she was sleeping. She died in her Dunkin' Donuts uniform in the Wawa convenience store parking lot. And this unleashed a national discussion about what has happened to the quality of jobs in our country, what's happening to workers like Maria Fernandez, and you know, what, and the situations they get themselves into. You know, some people responded by saying, well, it was dumb to keep a can of gas in your car. It just wasn't a smart thing to do. And sure, you could take that position, but that viewpoint really missed the real point, in my view, and which is that for more and more workers, they're operating at this edge of marginality where the price you pay for just making a small error is huge. In this case, it was tragic, and so this really is, I think, is the bigger point, is that what's happening to so many workers in the United States where they can't make it work at one job anymore. They can't make it work at with one employer. They're running from job to job, from gig to gig. this is really a very alarming change to how we conceive of work in the United States.
And that was the important part that the book did, is it first of all laid a very detailed and important perspective of the foundation of the transition that we're seeing. It talks about the labor issues and labor fights and organizing and how important that was and how the face of that is changing and needs to, because the old rules don't apply. Again, you say, with all the anxiety and displacement stemming from the advance of technology, it's easy to regard automation and robots as the enemy, but that would be a mistake. Automation in the past has allowed the replacement of low-end jobs with better jobs today. What is taunting us is our national failure to use the advantages of automation to construct an ever more productive economy with decent jobs in which prosperity is broadly shared. And this is the important part. The challenge then is a political one, not a technological. And that's what I really hung on in the book and the latter half want to talk about, is that it really is the dilemma that we're faced with. And you go in and, well, let's talk about maybe Sarah Horowitz from the Freelancers Union as a way to segue into some possible solutions and some things that have been happening.
Well, the Freelancers Union was founded about 10 years ago to advocate on behalf of freelancers. It's really the foremost organization in the United States that's doing that, and in many ways doing a tremendous job of, you know, making people realize, especially business and political leaders, that, hey, there's this growing class of workers out there that aren't covered under the labor laws as they exist. They're not covered, you know. They're not. Many of them don't have any access to a safety net. They really are. You know, many of them get you know, the wages that they contract with by a business. The businesses end up not paying those wages. Thousands of dollars a year on average for many freelancers. They miss out on wages that are owed to them. So the Freelancers Union really has been doing a good job of advocating for all this. I do have a criticize Sarah and the Freelancers Union a little bit, because she, like many people, are disappointed with the Obama administration and the government and the aftermath of the collapse that we experienced in 2008 economically. And so she has got this viewpoint that, well, we can just do this in the private sector. We can do this through NGOs, you know, creating safety nets for workers. And it sort of harkens back to the social unionism of the 1910s and 1920s, when you had unions that actually formed housing co-ops for workers, and they formed their own bank that they could loan to workers. And, you know, and that at the time, that was before the New Deal. And so unions doing that kind of social unionism was a very good idea and a step forward. But in fact, those labor leaders then handed a lot of the jobs off to Franklin Roosevelt and the New Deal, because government has so much more ability to scale up and to affect so many more people's lives. And so, in my view, to just give up on government because people are disappointed in perhaps in Barack Obama or, you know, just the
lag time. And it's easy. It's an easy villain to, you know, and an easy place to be disappointed.
Right. And this sort of buys into the right wing agenda of government is the problem.
Exactly.
I mean, Ronald Reagan stood at the platform one of his speeches when he was a president and said government is the problem. And so just to concede that, and instead of saying, like, yeah, government does do some dumb things sometimes, but so does the private sector. I mean, that's why the economy collapsed in 2008. So, you know, I think we need a more nuanced view of government as well as business, and realizing that we need both of them operating in an efficient way, and that requires regulation. It requires people being involved in their democracy. It requires people pushing their government, whether it's at the Portland City Council that, you know, recently gave a free pass to Uber and has done the same for Airbnb, or the state level or the federal level, we have to push our government officials to do better. I just don't understand the notion of giving up on that realm, because if we all pay a lot of taxes to those governments, and if we aren't going to be involved in the process of where our tax dollars are spent, well, you know, someone else is going to do that instead, and it won't be people that have the values of progressives.
Exactly. And then we get back to the core issue. What is the government's responsibility if it is not, to quote my little brother, treat its people well? I mean, it's fundamentally, that is its job.
Well, and if its we job, give even beyond that, it is to harness. You know, we're a capitalist country. I mean, but we're a different type of capitalism than, say, Europe, Germany, France, and what have you. Because in Germany and France, they my previous book, Europe's Promise, was about this subject. They've figured out how to harness this capital engine. They have what I call social capitalism. We have what I call Wall Street capitalism. They've figured out how to harness that capitalist engine, which creates a lot of wealth. But where does the wealth go? Whose pockets does it go into?
Exactly.
They put regulations around that wealth and those companies to make sure it fosters a broadly shared prosperity. For example, in Germany, one of the proposals I have in my book is that they have major corporations, Fortune 500 companies, but by law, the workers in those companies have the right to elect 50% of the members of the boards of directors of those corporations. And most Americans, even on the progressive side, have never even heard of this. It's called co-determination. It would be as if Walmart were required by law to allow its workers to elect 50% of the members of its board of directors. Imagine how U.S. corporations would act differently if workers were having that much of co-determination, as it's called, in terms of having say over what that business does. So, these are the sorts of things that we as Americans need to learn from what other people are doing. Reforms and proposals.
This is the most important part of the book. You were talking about the sharing economy rather than the owning economy. You set out about six or eight different things, but I would say under the heading transportable individual security accounts. Talk about that.
Sure. We have to enact a system that has what I call portable safety net, and what that means is that the way the U.S. system has been devised going back decades, which is different from what Germany and France and Sweden and other countries have, is that your safety net is attached to the employer, the specific employer where you're working. That's where you get your health care from, your retirement, and all these benefits. But the way we need to evolve the U.S. economy so it's attached to the individual, so no matter where you go, who you work for, you receive a safety net. So the proposal I have in Chapter 10 of my book is a proposal to do just that. What it would do is it would create an individual security account for every worker, be attached to your Social Security account, and every business you work for, regardless whether you're a 1099 contractor, freelancer, or if you're a regularly employed worker, because keep in mind, many regularly employed part-time workers also don't have safety net benefits, and they're also subject now to things like just-in-time scheduling, where you don't even know your schedule from day to day. You're basically on call, and in many ways, the working conditions of many part-time workers today is not that different from gig economy, sharing economy workers. And so for all these workers, the employer would pay a certain amount into that individual security account. It would be prorated to the number of hours that you work for that particular business. And then you would use the funds in that account to buy your safety net. Now, some of it would be directed immediately into the existing infrastructure we have for safety nets. So that would mean Social Security and Medicare, injured worker unemployment compensation, and then also health care. You'd be able to purchase health care now. The Obamacare Affordable Care Act type of health care fits very well into this type of program. You could purchase it there. And then in my proposal, you would also have, every worker would have about 5 days of paid sick leave and paid vacation per year. It's not enough, in my view, but many workers, 60 million workers in the private sector right now, for example, don't have any paid sick leave whatsoever.
Now, Stephen, before we go any further, we have to throw it out to Justin for a pitch break, but I want our listeners to know that we are speaking with author Stephen Hill, author of Raw Deal, How the Uber Economy and Runaway Capitalism Are Screwing American Workers. He will be in town Tuesday, December 8th at 7 p.m., and we will pick this back up after we go to Pledge Central, but I really, really want to let our listeners know every single person is touched by the ideas and the concepts that he's talking about in this book. And we are in this period of change, and how we can strongly go forward with information knowledge is KABU's absolute mission and what they do so well. This is an opportunity for you to double the impact of your donation without any extra money. The book is available for a nominal pledge. And most importantly, this information and transition is really important and critical to every single listener that we have. Hi, Justin.
Hi, Michelle. My name is Justin. I'm joined by Jenka, and it's a privilege to be with you and Stephen Hill talking about the 1099ing of humanity, and we're doing it in this matching period. The Starseed Foundation is going to match the next $250 that's coming in, and we have a $750 goal, and I'm hoping that 10 of you right now will start a monthly contribution of just $6.25 when you call 877-500-5266. We are talking about nothing short of the complete corporate undoing of all gains made by the labor movement. And that's what makes KBOO more important than it ever was before, because the only place you were going to get this information, the only place now that you're going to find solidarity, the only place that's going to keep you up to date on how corporations are screwing you is the mighty 90.7. Please, right now, don't leave money on the table during day four of our winter membership drive. Please call us toll-free, 877-500-5266. That's 877-500-KBOO.
You know, and the way that we're able to maintain our independence and to be able to produce radio that is critical of the large corporate industrial complex is the fact that we have 4,500 contributors. The fact that we have not one single corporate entity telling us what to put on the air and what not to put on the air, but we have so many listeners that decide to become members. That's what makes this station unique in the Portland listening area. We are completely independent. We have no big, huge corporate donor telling us that because of the advertising dollars that they're giving us, that they can control our content.
Nobody tells us nothing.
We remain independent because we have your support. Please call now. Become a member. Renew your membership or increase your membership. If you're giving $5 a month, maybe give $10 or $20 a month. And if you could give $20 a month, you can get one of these amazing KABU hoodies and wear that around town this winter. 877-500-5266. That's 877-500-KABU.
That $6.25 a month monthly contribution will get you a copy of Raw Deal, How the Uber Economy and Runaway Capitalism Are Screwing American
workers.
Thank you very much. And that's a book that we can get out to you. That's a book that you can also share with some of your, I don't know, maybe conservative family members at Christmas, maybe some of your progressive friends who haven't really thought through the impact of undoing the labor movement through corporate malfeasance. Maybe that's something you do. Maybe starting a KABU membership is your gift this season, and this book, Raw Deal, is a gift to someone you want to poke. By any means necessary, 877-500-5266. And I know a lot of people haven't called yet because they believe, well, it doesn't really matter. But I haven't ever made the call before. But you know what? You do matter, and we're waiting to hear from you. So please call right now, 877-500-KBOO.
Hi, this is Michelle Schroeder-Fletcher, and again, I want to encourage everyone to call in and support KBOO. This is such an important topic. Again, I defy anybody whose life that is not affected by the economics that we are transitioning through right now. Stephen Hill is the author of Raw Deal, How the Uber Economy and Runaway Capitalism Are Screwing American Workers. He will be in town Tuesday, December 8th at 7 o'clock at the First Unitarian Church. Stephen, again, it's just a fascinating read, but the most important part for me was after you set up the background and helped people understand how not just the history, but their own narrative. Again, I had talked about earlier in the program how most people are unaware of the government institutions that are there to support their health and well-being and economic structure. You then go in the latter part of the book and talk about 10 different things, and I'm going to name them, and then hopefully we'll have time to go through them individually. Job sharing, vocational training apprenticeships and job placement, profit sharing, co-determination, which you talked a little bit about, and works of the council economic democracy, healthcare reduced cost, requirements and Social Security to expand it, sick leave, that makes really good sense, child care and supporting families, tax deductions for freelancers and independents, and then internet access and speed, and most importantly, political reform. So if you can kind of, that's a long list, and it's important, it's in the book, and I think people should read it and digest it, but if you can kind of go through each one of those, maybe give us a little overview, and then we can hit the political reform.
Sure. I mean, it might be too many to go through now, but I mean, you know,
but it's a general, yeah.
Generally, I mean, the idea is that we need more democracy, both in our political system, but also in our economic system. So each one of those, in their own way, is designed to produce more democracy. You know, some of them are more economically focused. I actually have a book coming out next May on expanding the Social Security, so that people, and with my proposal, people actually will get double the payout they get now, and I show how we can pay for it without using a single dollar more in federal dollars. And so there are just things we can do that other countries are already doing in many cases, or sometimes they're being done at the local level. We can scale them up here in the United States. That would pivot the country and move it towards not only a more progressive direction, but a direction that is more geared towards helping families. You know, we say we believe in family values, and yet we really don't have a system set up to support family values like they do in many other countries around the world.
No child care, no sick leave, no...
Exactly. And so these sorts of things are all part of the transformation that we need to go through in our economy and in our politics. And so, if there's any, are there any particular ones that you think might be most interesting?
Yeah, well, and just to be clear about this, we are going through it, whether we determine it or not. And what your book does is at least gives a guidepost as some ideas, thoughts, and concepts of how we might do it proactively in a reasonable way to get a better return. I mean, you talk about tax deductions for freelancers and independents and internet access and speed.
Sure. I mean, those are kind of easy ones. I mean, freelancers and independent workers already qualify because they are in business. I mean, a lot of the gig economy gurus like to say, you're in business for yourself. You're the CEO of your own business, which in some ways is true. For example, you have to pay your own, the employer's half of Social Security and Medicare now if you're a freelancer or a contractor. And so you also are eligible for a lot of tax deductions for running your own business. And yet many people who end up falling off the cliff and becoming losing their job and becoming contractors and freelancers don't know very much about this. So one simple thing that local government could do is hold workshops for freelancers and contractors where tax professionals come in and help them understand, here's how you actually can maximize your income by making certain business deductions, just like Apple does, just like Uber and Airbnb do. You now are in business for yourself. You can make these deductions. So that's a simple one that local government should do. A lot of people who are freelancers and contractors are making their livings online. And so making sure that your community has a high-speed internet access that is affordable for people so that those who are now in business for themselves have that access and aren't paying a lot of money. That's another easy one for local government to do.
And job sharing, vocational training, and apprenticeships. You talk about that because, truthfully, the millennials are coming through this. They're in the pipeline trying to determine a way to move forward. And most of them, like us, don't have any experience. My experience is obsolete in the sense that it refers back to the, you know, 60s and 70s and the labor movement. And in so many ways, what you do in the book to dispel that as not being current or relevant to what we're doing now.
Yes, that's right, because now more and more workers are going to be working from multiple employers, and they are not going to be getting their safety net through those employers anymore. And so, and they are going to be constantly, I mean, one of the things that doesn't get talked about enough in the gig economy is that you're constantly looking for the next job, and you don't get paid for looking for your next job. And I've been a freelance writer for many years now, and you know it can be somewhat
daunting,
laborious, and very daunting to be constantly looking for the next job. Even when you have one now that you're working on, you're still looking for the next one, because when the one you have now ends, you've got to have something lined up, and it just really keeps you running. You feel like a hamster on a wheel sometimes, trying to keep up. And so things like keeping up your skills, vocational training. The U.S. is unfortunately very behind most other developed economies in the world in terms of how much money, what percentage of our GDP we spend on vocational training to help people to upgrade their skills. And so it falls on the worker, her or himself, to pay for that yourself and to keep yourself constantly upgraded in terms of your skills. And so, you know, that's another thing that even local governments can do, is sponsoring more vocational training, sponsoring workshops for people to get their skills upgraded. Well, you know, these are all things that make sense for individuals, but they also make sense for your local economy to have a workforce that is productive and is bringing in revenue from, you know, customers all over the world.
Yes. Well, we need to go to Pledge Central. Again, I want to remind our listeners, we've been speaking with author Stephen Hill about his new book, Raw Deal, How the Uber Economy and Runaway Capitalism Are Screwing the American Worker. I want to remind everybody that he's generously donated copies of his books, and during this time, you can double the impact of that donation because we have a matching fund. This is truly an important issue. It is, I think, the issue of our time, because how we move together as a country is largely dependent on not giving up, not, as Stephen said, not allowing the government to be controlled by other people, but to take it back. This started with the 99%. It's going to continue. There is a transition afoot. Let's make it one that can positively impact the most people. Justin?
Michelle.
Thank you, thank you again for helping with all of the pitching. I really appreciate it.
Not at all, Michelle, and I'm joined by Jenka, and we are taking a couple of minutes out of this critical interview with Stephen Hill on the 1099ing of humanity to ask people in radio land to think about where else they are getting this kind of information. Well, it's not a trick question. You're not getting it anyplace else, and that's why you have tuned in to the mighty 90.7 for years and years and years. And maybe it just slipped by you and you hadn't had a chance to make that call, and now you're realizing that you're being impacted by the complete undoing of the labor movement in America. Maybe the incentive, because see, becoming a stakeholder really does make a difference. Be a stakeholder right now in community radio and call us toll free 877-500-5266 and start that $6.25 a month contribution. It is secure and reasonably painless. Why don't you do it right now? Introduce yourself. 877-500-KBOO.
You know, we've only got a few minutes left to raise that $750 goal for this show, and so we need a few more of you to pick up the book, Raw Deal, How the Uber Economy and Runaway Capitalism Are Screwing American Workers by Stephen Hill, and we've only got a few copies of that. So pick one up now before we run out, and you do that by calling 877-500-5266. That's 877-500-KBOO. KABU, and that's a $5 a month contribution. You could do that $60 all at once or $5 a month, and that will be your contribution to this community radio station. Please give now. Become a member, renew your membership, or give again. You can also give online, kboo.fm, or call right now. Help us reach the goal, $750 in the next 7 minutes, 877-500-5266.
You know, there's something so inherently lonely about 1099-ing workers. You work alone. You're on your own. There is no infrastructure. And I was thinking about this and listening to this interview. You know, that's why a lot of us tune into KABU, because so often if we're taking in other media sources, we feel alone. You might be forgiven for believing that you're the only one who thinks that climate change is bad, that you're the only one in favor of social justice, that you're the only one looking to battle tyranny. But then you tune into KABU and you realize there are thousands and thousands and thousands of people like you. And you know how you can tell? Because this signal is going out there and it's being made by people like you. And you say, wow, that's incentive to support it. So, okay, I never did it before, but I'm actually engaging in an antidote to my own loneliness when I do that. 877-500-KABU.
And we really urge you to do it in the next 6 minutes, because the Starseed Foundation has made an offer to match $250 in donations called in before 10 o'clock. So if you call right now, you can double the impact of your gift. 877-500-5266. Whether you could do $5 a month, $10 a month, maybe $20 a month, and pick up that hoodie, the KABU hoodie for this winter here in Portland.
That hoodie is dope.
877-500-KBOO. Please call and help us reach the goal for this show. 877-500-KBOO.
Again, I want to remind our listeners that we've been speaking with Stephen Hill about his new book, Raw Deal, How the Uber Economy and Runaway Capitalism Are Screwing the American Worker. Stephen, what I think is just so important to tell our listeners, and that you've done such a good job in the book, is that it isn't hopeless. It just requires some effort and energy put in a place that would first identify these issues instead of, as Justin just said, I think especially in this quote-unquote sharing economy, people are kind of isolated and separated, and they both don't have the forum for these exchange of these ideas, or the breadth of knowledge, especially for millennials who grew up only knowing this. I know something new's coming, and like I said, you've done a good job of identifying several places. Is there something before we wrap up that you want to particularly talk about?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think the message I would like to send to people is that we wish that the U.S. Congress would pass the laws that we want, but we all know it's not likely to happen. It's very polarized at the federal level. Not much comes out of that level anymore. And I don't see that changing anytime soon. So the focus is really going to shift to the state and even the local level, and cities like Portland, San Francisco, New York, L.A. You know, you do have city councils that tend to be more, you know, progressive
responsive
and liberal. And so that's where the action is going to be, and people need to get involved. I mean, in Portland, there are votes coming up on all sorts of things, and you can go to city council members and ask them to, you know, at Portland level, you can introduce a bill that would require employers, businesses, to pay into individual security accounts for all workers that live in Portland. You can do that at the local level. You can do it at the state level. There have been lots of discussion about Uber and Airbnb, and recently just a vote on Uber. And, you know, everyone recognizes the value of Uber and ride sharing, but you have to think of our streets as a public utility and regulate that like a public utility, that so it works for the good of everybody and not just a handful of companies that are, flooding your streets with cars. And so these are the sorts of things that I think people really have to think more about, and not just look at their own convenience. Well, they got an Uber in 5 or 10 minutes, and it works great. We don't want any regulation around it. But in fact, you know, Uber should be paying its livery taxes, and Airbnb should be paying its hotel tax. And because that's important revenue for local governments, and you just have to, you know, get the right laws to make these technologies work. That so it's going to be good for people, and you know, try to get rid of the knock-on effects that are causing a lot of disruptions in the communities.
Yes. Well, it's that kind of activism that I think is really going to, and you're starting to feel it. Are you hopeful? I mean, this is the age-old question, but you when Bernie Sanders came to town, there was 10,000 people that showed up. Again, there is a movement around. I'm not sure anybody is clear about how to get there, but the questions are starting to germinate that we need to address how to get there. That again, we've seen how it doesn't work, and now we're in the process of redefining how it could and should.
Right, and I think young people are going to be particularly important because young people, every generation of young people provides you know, new core of activists that start learning. They start working on campaigns of one sort or another. They learn the skills and the tools and just the mindset of how to affect change, because we have to renew American society. And I think
right.
People should be optimistic that we can do it, but don't think that someone else is going to do it.
Absolutely.
It's going to be up to every one of us to do it.
Yes.
And that's what people have to realize. And, you know, any person can go to their member of city council with a piece of legislation and say, hey, I heard the speaker about how we can create a safety net, a portable safety net for workers with multiple employers. I think we should introduce something here in Portland. And, you know, there are, you know, lawyers who are working on drafting legislation around this kind of thing right now. I've been in meetings with many of the businesses in Silicon Valley and members of Congress. And, you know, they're not this, even the businesses are realizing we have to do something. This is going to reach a point where, you know, the U.S. economy is driven 70% by consumer spending. If not enough people have enough money in their pockets to buy up the goods and services that are being produced by the businesses, even the businesses are going to suffer.
And this won't work. Well, Stephen, we are running out of time. I can't tell you what a pleasure it has been. I want to again remind our listeners that Stephen will be in town this coming Tuesday, December 8th at 7 p.m. at the First Unitarian Church. You can hear more about this. I also want to encourage everybody to get a copy of the book. And here's some new ideas and solutions. Support KABU and Stephen and all of these new concepts and ideas. The book is Raw Deal: How the Uber Economy and Runaway Capitalism Are Screwing the American Workers. Thank you so much for sharing your time, your effort, your energy, and the book with us, Stephen.
Thank you. It's been my pleasure.
Thank you so much. This is Michelle Schroeder Fletcher at KBOO 90.7 FM Portland.
KABU would like to thank the restaurants that have donated food for our volunteers today. Isabel Restaurant for providing breakfast, located at 330 Northwest 10th Avenue.